for my sister.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, we have two questions.
Dave's is deep, he said. And
what's the difference between a spirit and a soul?
There is no difference between a spirit and a soul. You are your soul. Your soul is your spirit. You are one and the same. And people, I don't know, I think it's because of movies and TV that people think that the soul is just this little portion of self. Like when you sell your soul to the devil, the devil has that little portion of yourself that you get to go and do whatever. But you are your soul. Your body is your physical vehicle, and your soul runs your vehicle, the body.
Can your soul fragment?
No.
Can't leave pieces of it, places?
You can leave essences.
Essence. And reassimilate them.
Mm-hmm. And you can go back. You can leave essences and traumas from past lives. And if you, let's say you were murdered in Egypt, and you went back to Egypt, and you went to that location where you were murdered, only you didn't know it, you could relive that, you could relive the trauma. Or you could, there could be areas that might break open, like with Stephen, we went back to Rome. His knuckles broke open at the Colosseum. There would be soul remembrance. And by going back to that location, you would reclaim that soul essence.
It's like fragmentation.
It's not really fragmented. No, it's essence. You leave essence everywhere you go. You leave a trail of energy everywhere you go. Do you remember the lady that I found that had wandered out of the nursing home in Benton, Arkansas? We did a psychic detective on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how I found her?
Yeah.
Trail.
Her trail.
What was her trail?
Her essence.
Her,
essence.
Mm-hmm.
It was her energy. I literally followed, I got her hairbrush, tuned in to the vibration of her frequency, her signature frequency. We all have a signature frequency. I coined that one, by the way. And I took that, got that hum of that energy, and followed that energy trail until I located her. And let me tell you, she wandered around a little bit, too.
Where was she?
She was next to a stream. Actually, not very far from the nursing home itself. That's where she was when I located her. But she had wandered out in the woods and till she came to the stream. And it was a really hot day. It's a summer day. And she had on sweatpants and a sweat top, bright pink. Mm-hmm. And she was about 5'8". She was a big woman, and not like fat, but she was a tall, big woman. And I said, "She's over there." And there was a fence; I couldn't get to her. I said, "She's right over there. There's a stream." And they went over there, and that's where she was. She was taking water, putting it on her face. Pulling herself off. She had Alzheimer's real bad, real bad.
How long has she been gone?
3 days.
Wow.
I told them where she was. I kept telling them where she was. But they got this idea she was by the lake, she was over there. They had their own ideas or concepts of where she was. They wouldn't listen to me. So I finally said, there's only one way I'm going to find this lady. I'm going to have to go there and track her. And that's what I did. And I found her within about 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we leave our essence, our energy, everywhere we go, okay? We leave it in our homes, we leave it on jewelry, clothing, unless you wash the clothing. Your writing, when you write, it carries the energy, your energy. And that's what I work off of. But that doesn't mean your soul is fractured or that it's shrinking because of loss of energy. It just, it's radiating the specific energy that carries your signature energy. Okay? In the Army, they took photographs of a room where there was like five or six people that were sitting in various locations in the room. And they waited and they took the photograph an hour after the people left, and there was energy in the shape of those individuals that were in that room.
Can I have another follow-up question?
Mm-hmm.
I'll elaborate. But, so you also, you get, you, by our name, you, but you also get into our photographs. How's that work?
Your photograph carries your energy.
Because we all have a unique appearance.
No, it has nothing to do with your unique appearance. I don't have to look at your appearance. I touch into the photograph. It carries your signature energy,
you
your
can do
signature
it.
Frequency.
You can do it with the photo upside down, too. I've seen
sure.
you do it.
Yeah. Especially with murderers.
Yeah, that's. I saw on one of the shows, they put all the photos upside down.
And flipped them until I found the guy that did it.
Wow. Because a picture is a snapshot of your energy and time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But a painting wouldn't work.
No, it does not work.
Because it's long term.
It would actually capture the energy of the painter.
Yeah. I was going to say, what if you painted? The person painted it, painted it as their energy.
Erin?
Yes, I just had a question. I was listening to the sessions, past two sessions, and I wasn't here, and I was just wondering. About like if the possibility of a soulmate, because you said something mm-hmm. along the lines of, say for instance, if you're asking yourself if you're doing the finger circles or whatever, and you get up to 28 times, chances are you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But then my question was, is what if you have a soulmate? And if you have a soulmate, do they live each lifetime with you?
No.
No.
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
No, as a matter of fact, my understanding is there are male, female soul created. Okay? Soulmate, if you will. They go out from each other and they go through several different lifetimes and then they come back together. Then they go back out again and they go through several different lifetimes and they come back together. It's relatively rare to have a lifetime with a soulmate. And the neat thing and the scary thing about it is if your soulmate evolves and you evolve, when you come back together, it's a very neat experience. It's very uplifting and very powerful. But if your soulmate de-evolves, or you de-evolve, it can be very destructive. Very destructive for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little scary.
Is that the twin flame? Thing.
Yeah, along that Very line.
Twin souls. Yeah.
Yeah. But you could also have certain individuals that you've had several lifetimes with, even more than your soulmate, that was either very negative or, in many cases, positive. And it will feel like a soulmate. How do you know which one it is? You really don't. It's really tough to find that out. The more powerful the relationship, the more lives you've had with each other, and probably the more lessons you have.
Could you ask your soul to find out if there's your soulmate?
You could try it.
Didn't you say with your soulmate, though, everything clicks?
You can do that with certain individuals, though, where you've had several lifetimes with them, and everything clicks. But yeah, but you can also, if they de-evolve, they can actually be the opposite mirror of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I would think that they could take you down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In your own
the bad thing about it is you run into your soulmate. It's really hard to walk away.
Yeah,
because the chemistry and everything is just there.
Yeah.
Now, is it necessarily soulmate in a relationship standpoint, sexual relationship standpoint, or could it be just a friend?
No, it would be sexual.
Yeah.
And then you've got the problem is male, female? Are they going to be the right or the wrong? Or what's right and wrong? You've got all these issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you're heterosexual and they're the same sex, then that'll be a problem. Or
it could be problematic.
Vice versa,
but, yeah.
Have to be in the same spot there.
Yeah. And you just don't know. Mm-hmm. But you have this compulsion. And then there's other factors that come in there, too. And that you have people that you've had many lifetimes with that you have specific lesson of releasing, and you just can't, you will be compelled to be with them until you get that lesson taken mm-hmm. care of and you're able to release them with love. And that's a really strong one. Mm-hmm. And it can be in hate or in love. There's no limits to the lessons. They just go on and on and on.
Oh, don't say.
They never stop.
They never stop.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
We so chose this.
You said you met three angelics. Do you think we could ever meet an angelic?
Why not?
I don't know. How would we know?
You won't.
That was my question.
Unless they tell you.
Well, one of them told you, then you knew the other two, right, that they were?
One of them told me, yes. But that's because I asked her.
Oh.
And if you ask, they have to tell you.
They have to tell you if you ask them.
There you go. I ask every time.
So everyone. We still
have one more. Hey, thanks, lady. Are you angelic?
Exactly. There you go.
Give me like a tip or something.
You would never tell. You would, I mean.
You couldn't tell, really? Oh,
no.
You knew.
I knew.
That's how they told you.
I didn't know in the beginning.
Oh.
Because they're ordinary. There's nothing extraordinary.
And they're all three were females.
There was a male.
One male, two females.
Yeah.
So these people would be fleeting, or quote unquote, people would be fleeting. They wouldn't be somebody that would have a lasting impression in your life.
If they were solid as you or me.
Well, she means they were a long term relationship with you.
Yeah, they would just be like in passing that you would.
Oh, if you made an angelic.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
No, you don't get, no, there's no relationship.
Yeah, they wouldn't be sticking around.
They come in to give a message.
Okay.
They're messengers. And my guardian angel was the male angelic.
Oh. He came to you in physical form.
Yeah.
I didn't know they could do that. Wow.
Yeah, they can.
If they want to, huh?
If they want to, sure.
What if we ask them to? They don't work?
No.
I would assume that's if you're being pretty hard-headed that they come in physical form.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, that's just what I would think.
You don't know that that's who they are, unless you ask.
I didn't know. The male was, he was a black man, and I had wandered out of the hospital in San Francisco that my father had gone to. And I was about 3 years old, and I was wandering down the street, just having a high old time. And this man came up to me, and he said, "Carol, you're lost."
Wow.
And I went, "Okay."
I
felt pretty good. So he said, "Take my hand." And he walked me back to the hospital, into the hospital, on the floor where my parents were, and then he disappeared.
Wow.
And now he's with you in spirit.
Apparently he was then too.
Yeah.
They were pretty solid to me.
Like nowadays with all the security cameras and stuff, if they were in human form, are you going to be able to see something on a film? Like?
Probably.
Okay.
I think so.
We'll see why not.
You know, have to lower their vibration to take on mass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of a camera or the other.
Off subject, sorry.
That's fine.
Usually, I only take my carnelian off to shower. Well, last night I was super duper tired, and I didn't put it back on. And like, by the time I woke up this morning, I was completely exhausted. I was just wondering if that has anything to do with it, or like, I just thought it was interesting.
Your carnelian bracelet. You don't need to wear it at home.
Okay.
Unless you're living with someone who is a psychic vampire.
Yeah, I have to wear my tongue.
If you live with someone who's a psychic vampire, you do have to wear it at home.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not, or if they're in grave pain, you want to wear your carnelian bracelet. Because I found out it shuts down the empathy of picking up other people's pain, which has been a lifesaver for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to wear it when you're at Walmart, you know, Kroger's, whatever.
Sam's.
Whatever. Because it protects your energy from somebody else pulling your energy.
Right. Okay.
But for you, by yourself, in the house, you shouldn't need it. Like, my husband's in the hospital now. When I go home, bracelets go off. Because you need time out sometimes.
Got it.
And the reason you don't wear it in the shower is because it will wreck it, and it'll break the elastic in the band.
Mm-hmm. You get out and it'll go poof.
Yeah.
Mine did that anyway.
Yeah. You may not need it. Mm. Now, there's some people that simply, that psychic vampires can't touch automatically. Their energies are, they're not that bad. Maybe it's because they don't have that much empathy. I don't know what the deal is. But some people are more susceptible than others. I have to have it. That's a good question.
What's your question, Chelsea?
Well, I was going to say, some of the carnelian braces have that, like fishing line, too, so that wouldn't necessarily, that'd be impervious to water.
That should be impervious to water.
So,
which is fine.
Yeah,
that's your question.
No.
I'm going to answer that.
If you wanted to wear those in the shower, then you could. If you just want to have it on all the time, then yeah.
But I can understand why you might be
asking that question.
Yeah.
Well, I've played with mine on before just because it's the only plant that washes it too at the same time. Yeah? I mean, then you have to wash it separately. Yeah?
You wash it.
I really don't wash
mine. I don't wash mine either. I'm afraid that's going to blow up.
Blow up?
Unless if you had a elastic one.
But I will tell you, we've got a new bracelet now. Sandalwood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Love it.
Awesome. Awesome,
yes,
awesome.
It is.
And it smells awesome.
It's yes, it does.
You better tell everybody what sandalwood does, too.
It protects you from the demonic.
Yes.
And it works.
Yeah, it does. How can you tell whenever it's active?
Yeah, well, it's weird. I didn't know how it would really work until I had a couple of clients that got it. Hello, Louise. Anyway, I got a couple of clients. We're on worldwide radio, our blog. Anyway, when she got to her house, which is demonically infestation, the bracelet pinched her. I don't know how it possibly could, but it pinched her. And I've heard that from a few people.
Yeah, it's happened to me. I was going into Walmart. And it just got tight on my arm and pinched.
We love Walmart.
Just saying.
Go ahead.
However, the parking lots.
Well, there's a lot of different people there and a lot of things going on.
We do not slander Walmart.
I wasn't slandering anybody. Just saying, I was doing it.
That's where she was.
Happened to be where I was located when I came.
But it's really cool, and it is protection. And I found out by putting it on my bedside table, it seems to lend to better protection.
I have mine hanging in my bedroom.
Yeah, dream wise.
Oh. I have one in my bedroom and one on my arm.
I was so glad that I found these. I bought every one that the guy had. So like 78?
Gonna be like, I'm gonna buy five of them.
Do what?
Well, I need to buy five of them.
Did you?
No, I need to.
Well, go for it.
I'll sell them to you.
I'll sell them to you. You know,
I don't make a killing on them or anything, but I think they're all of $8.
No Caribbean vacation.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, no.
I'm still waiting for this question.
Okay.
Me too.
The infamous question. That's
all right. The infamous question. I have heard people say before that if things that you're working towards in life, especially if they're larger projects, that you need to release attachment to their outcome.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because you limit the way that it can come into effect. Okay? When you want to manifest, let's say you want to manifest money. Okay? And you have this goal of you're going to have $20,000. And if you attached to that, it stops it from manifesting. And on top of that, you're going to be looking at how it's going to come. And when you do that, you've totally limited everything about it. So you want to put it out there as your goal and then let it. Don't worry about how it's going to come into effect. Let what needs to happen, happen. Ask that it come harmlessly and to the highest good of all involved. That's your only limitation that you place on it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have the answer.
You have to phone a friend for that one. Her friends.
He didn't know if I would have the answer or not. I told him I didn't know.
I challenged her.
He challenged me.
That she may not have the answer to this one.
You need a better challenge than that, I think.
Yeah. Better ask a tougher question.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something I really want to clarify. This last week, one of the members of our church here, our group, her daughter-in-law went under total demonic attack and possession. Total possession. To the point that her daughter-in-law physically attacked her. You know, with the growling and the whole nine yards. And I went over the situation with her, the member, and asked her what took place. And they were taking some items out of the grandson, which is the daughter-in-law's son, apartment. And he had gotten in some real serious bad stuff and was in jail. And she was bringing those things into her house. And apparently this stuff was actively demonic. And as she brought it into the house, it began to affect her. And all of a sudden, she said, get the baby, that was the grandbaby, and told her husband, take the grandbaby and leave the house now. And she began growling, and she began to flop around. And so my friend started doing the lifting on her, and the flopping and the growling got very intense. And she attacked her in the midst of it. My friend kept on until she finally completed the lifting, and the girl just flopped on the floor, just flopped out. And so I went over, I said, all right, bringing that stuff into the house, you open the house up to the demonic by bringing it in, number one. Number two, you were going to do a blessing on the house? She said, yes, I was going to do a blessing on the house. I said, what time were you going to do that blessing? She said, about 6:30. You cannot do an exorcism or a blessing on the house even close to 6 p.m. It has to be between 12 and 3.
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon. What happened was by doing, starting into the blessing of the house, which is in essence an exorcism of the house and property, she opened up the time on the dark sides.
Right.
So they had legal right to attack.
Mm-hmm. Because it's during their domain time.
It's during their domain time. Mm-hmm. You cannot do a house blessing after 3 p.m. It's very, very dangerous. Be aware. I want everyone to know that because I don't want this to happen to somebody else. And she should have known it, and she did after she started into it, but and she pulled herself back, but by then it was too late. The door was open.
And don't start at 2:58.
No.
Seriously, leave yourself enough time to complete it before 3 o'clock.
Exactly.
So was the stuff that affected her what affected her son, possibly?
Sure. I'd say he's demonically.
But she's clear now.
Yeah, she's clear now.
I'm confused about it opening up the time because I thought like 3 a.m. was like the time that they... I'm confused about that.
3 a.m. is the dark side's prime time. That's when they have absolute authority. It's between 12 midnight and 3 a.m. And it's the reverse.
For the afternoon.
In the afternoon when Christ energy has prime time.
From noon to three.
Yeah, they're weakened. They're in a weakened state.
And that's the domain time that Renee was referring to.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, why is it that time? Because that's when Christ was crucified. Mm-hmm. That's when the actual death occurred.
And I would guess also, too, because there's more light now.
Yeah.
At night, in the darkness.
So I guess I'm just curious if it were 4:30 in the afternoon, how...
It's dangerous. You don't do it at 4:30.
Mm-hmm. You don't do a house blessing at 4:30.
So you're basically just saying if you want protection, you're going to do it in the prime time of good.
This is for the house blessing. This is not for the lifting. Mm-hmm. The lifting you can do anytime. Mm-hmm. The house blessing is a form of exorcism. And by doing an exorcism, you have to do it between the time of 12 noon to 3 p.m. And people that do exorcisms at 6, it's phony. It's not true. Because the dark side would wipe them up.
So essentially you're saying to cast out demonic entities, you need to hit them at their weakest point.
You bet.
Which is from 9 to 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So be aware, I don't want people to go, well, I don't have any other time but after 6 p.m. to do a house blessing on my house and it's demonically possessed. You will get hurt. Don't do that. That's when they have authority. Okay? Are we clear on this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You can do the lifting anytime.
You can do the lifting anytime.
Exactly, but the blessing you can only do between noon and 3.
Although, I would not... As a novice, do the lifting on a demonically possessed house after 3 p.m. I think it could put you in some danger because you don't have enough authority. You have to build authority by using the lifting on a daily basis. That way you're developing authority with the spirit community. They're finding out you mean business and that you're sincere, and they're finding out that you're developing that connection, that rapport with them, and they are more, the more rapport you have with them, the more you've done, the more experience you have, the more seniority you develop.
You're doing the work. Just like you have a job.
Exactly. Yes.
You're doing redemption work.
Yes. And the more seniority, the more powerful the lifting is.
Like you.
Well, my liftings are very powerful because I do them 3 and 4 times a day with various people. And I have a very solid rapport and a half had for 33 years. All right. It's like that little seniority.
So I guess as far as the lifting is concerned, at least the, when you're asking the demonic entities to be lifted, it's best to do that lifting.
The rest of it is not a big deal.
Right, but that...
The second paragraph.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I would develop a little seniority before going into a demonic house and trying to do it.
Yeah. So she was able to completely clear her daughter-in-law herself?
No.
Okay. You had to help her out there.
I did.
But she was able to at least get her a...
She got her calm. And when I did it over the phone. When I got on the phone, her daughter-in-law started saying, I'm afraid.
Well, you talked to her personally on the phone.
Yeah, well, I heard her in the background.
Oh, and then she said,
we got on speakerphone. Oh. And then I went ahead and did the lifting for the house and the property and everything there.
I was going to say, did you have to have her permission? Was it her home?
Mm-hmm.
But she was able to give because she had been calmed down.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What in the situation that she couldn't have given her permission?
Well,
you've done exorcisms, possessions where they couldn't give their permission, correct?
Yeah. But if the family asks, because they're affecting the entire family, I can, in fact, do the lifting with the family's permission.
Loophole there, huh?
Yeah. And they bring them to me. Yeah. I'm telling you, the spirit community spent 8 years teaching me about the demonic and doing exorcisms. 8 full years.
You're like a PhD in exorcisms.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dr. Carol.
Dr. Carol, yeah, there you go.
No, because there is really no other way except hands-on. You know, I mean, there is now, but when I was learning, and I didn't even know I was learning until I realized what was going on, who knew? I just thought I was going through experiences. And then I realized I was, like, learning. Mm-hmm. They were teaching me step by step.
Baby steps.
Babies, well, they didn't feel very big.
Yeah, really.
Well,
Trial by fire,
yeah, absolutely. But I wanted to get that point across because I don't think I've got it in there solidly on the web page.
I think so.
About the importance of that house blessing. So
it was on there.
Is it on there?
Between 12 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
During the day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't believe that my friend did that.
Yeah, I know. And I know that it said once you start, you cannot stop.
No, you have to continue.
Finish.
You have to go all the way through it. Yeah, you do. And you have to muster up all the authority. I mean, you can't even think scared or fear or anything. You have to muster up total authority, and it hits you in the chest. It's like you can't breathe. It's real heavy.
Is it a good idea to bless your house on an annual basis?
It's a good idea to bless your house about every 3 months.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Quarterly.
Yeah.
I do have one question. This might be a little overdoing it, but say, for instance, when you're blessing your house, are you expected to crawl into every cabinet and get every corner?
No.
You're just talking about, like, the corners.
Keep it simple.
Okay.
Always keep it simple.
That's a good question, though.
It's any... Yeah.
when you're being told that you're pushing through corners, then, you know, there are a lot of corners to hide in, like,
But closets and second floors.
Yeah. What you do is, what they told me, because I asked the same question. Mm-hmm. I was looking at fireplaces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking at... Sure. I'd
be, do you go?
Yeah.
The wall does this. You know,
so what they told me, you go clockwise through your house. As you enter in, you're facing your house. You're going to go to your left. You're going to go to the full corner. You're going to go all the way to another semi-corner. Any full corner, any semi-corner. you did the blessing on it.
And you don't have to worry about like freestanding columns that are just there for structure.
No. Mm-mm. And in a closet, you do the left side and you do the right side.
But upstairs. Do you go upstairs?
Oh, you have to go up. When you go upstairs, as you enter, and it depends on where your stairway is. But you go halfway through your house, then you go upstairs, you complete your house, you go down the stairs, and you complete the rest of your house. And then you hit the back door, and any side doors, as you're walking through, you pour either the water or the salt on the threshold of the doors.
And don't mop it up afterwards.
Mm-mm. And don't what, honey?
Mop it.
Don't mop it up afterwards if you put the blue in.
I personally use salt water. I use blessed salt water. Not with an overabundance of salt in it, so it doesn't like destroy anything. Because it doesn't take that much salt to purify it. And just get it through. And it, as you're going through, if you do have demonic, you will find it very hard to breathe. It's a lot of pressure on the chest.
You have a hard time going forward.
And you have a hard time speaking.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you just get real loud. You just push it through.
What about attics?
Attics, if you have a full attic, I would do your attic. I wouldn't worry about if it's just an attic.
If you're just a crawl space,
yeah,
not
you
worry.
Don't have to worry about that. But if you have like a real attic that you go up into, I would do the
where you can stand up in and
I'd do the attic. I would, and again, going up to the attic, you would want to complete one side, go up in the attic, complete that, come back, complete that side, come back and finish that. So I feel really sorry for people that have multi-level homes.
Yeah.
I did a home one time. It's 10,000 square feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
That took a while, huh?
It did. It really did.
So.
That's why you don't start at 2:30.
That's why you don't start at 2:30.
Makes me really consider the little home living.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Get you to a trailer? Yeah.
And you can do an office, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. If it's only your office, right?
Only your office.
Only what you have domain over.
Yeah, unless you're like
principal.
Manager.
So if you're a principal of a school, you could actually bless the entire school.
You could.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
point. Or they can give you permission to, correct?
If you're principal, you have that permission.
No, I meant if
your principal.
Your principal could give you permission to do.
Yes. Yes. And they can do a lifting on the whole school property every day. Yeah. It worked really well in hospitals. I had some heads of nursing that were doing the lifting on the hospital on a regular basis. And they had, it was wonderful. They had major healing taking place. It was really neat. But people forget and they go their merry way. Pity.
So you're saying lifting, or there
lifting
a particular
and
or prayer
the blessing.
For your work?
Oh, lifting does really well. If you do the blessing of the house, that house and property is protected from demonic for 3 full months. From the demonic, not from spirits. From the demonic. The lifting you can do on a regular basis, and that will protect from spirits, demonic, whatever.
And the prayer you use for blessing the house also does your work area?
You can do for your work area, yes.
Just change the wording from home to the work area.
Yes.
Only what you have domain over there.
All that you have domain over. Absolutely.
So that, I mean, all that you have domain over, that would include anything that would be included in your space, your vehicles, everything.
Absolutely. That's why you use that. You don't want to... You say everything, you want to use words that cover broad scale.
Mm. Well, that, because you'd be limiting.
You're limiting. Exactly. So you have to be really cautious in that. That's why you don't limit what your goal is. Yeah.
Another question. When you have smaller children that say that they're having conversations with like past loved ones or things like that, and they know things that they typically wouldn't know otherwise, or they're, I don't want to say making imaginary friends or whatnot, but would it be prudent to just take one of these carnelian bracelets and just make it just a couple beads smaller for them? Or
no, it won't make any difference.
And at what point in time do they kind of lose that?
The carnelian will not protect from spirits.
Okay.
It only protects from psychic vampires or from walking through negative energies and being beat up by energies. But as far as spirits are concerned, there is nothing that protects you from that other than calling upon the Band of Mercy to remove them from your house and your property and take them either into protected sanctuary or whatever they deem appropriate in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. What you do is you teach your child to help them go to heaven by asking the Band of Mercy to help them into the light, mm-hmm. or whatever is deemed appropriate in the name of Jesus Christ. Keep it real simple.
What if that person that came to your child was a loved one that kept them presenting a warning or...
Then that's a whole different ballgame. But if it's a loved one, now there's two things. A loved one can give messages and they're in the light to children or to adults or to whomever, but they don't linger, okay? So if you have a loved one, though, that comes and lingers, then they need to go into the light. They're not there for a message.
They need help.
They need help.
They would ask you for help.
But you, my dear, have a psychic and mediumistic child. And this will always happen. So the sooner you train her to be able to listen to her guides and trust and learn and grow and evolve safely, the better off you and she will be. And she's already beyond her years. So it will not be difficult.
How old is she?
Five?
She just turned four.
Four.
She
that's
just,
amazing.
Just turned four. You have no idea.
What are you blessing
her? Oh, man.
But you're never bored, are you?
No, no, I'm not.
I know you said.
My hero, to say the least.
Yeah, no kidding. She's as much a protector of you as you are of her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, for sure.
Did we run out of questions?
Steve, come on, get that question there as well. You got a question in your mind. I can see your mind. She got a light bulb over
there. I'm saving.
Well, I've been so busy this week I haven't written any down.
I'm embarrassed. We don't know who you are.
I didn't even realize it was going to be the first until my alarm went off yesterday and said, you have a meeting tomorrow night. I went, oh, yay.
Oh, wow.
Hooray. Yeah.
That's neat. Well.
Break.
You want to break?
Well.
Yeah, we can go ahead and break and we'll just come back and figure out what you want to talk about, what you want to know about, and we'll go from there.
I thought maybe we could talk about faith and how you can have faith and worry at the same time, and maybe how
have faith and what
and worry at the same time. How you have to let that go and give it.
I think we are absolutely taught to worry. We are programmed to worry. My mother was an intense worrier. She worried if she didn't have something to worry about because she knew that something was going to come. So she pretty much taught me how to worry. And my daddy used to say, you know, when you worry like that, you're trying to cross your bridge before you come to it. And I thought about that, and that made some sense to me. How can you cross a bridge before you come to it? You can't. So that means that it's a fantasy work. So I begin to realize, and my guides help me with it, that the dark side makes you worry. They distract you from your faith and from your belief in God. And they take you out to the worry play garden where you can just indulge yourself to no end in negativity and worrying about all the terrible dark things that are going to come, could come, might come, maybe should come.
Would it drive you insane if you worry about anything before it happens?
So I learned that I don't do that anymore. But I went through a process to stop worry. It's a process that my guides taught me how to do. I've done it before, but I'll do it again. It's a 29-day process. And what you do, you have to stay aware of every thought, everything that you're thinking, day and night, for 29 days. And every time you go into a worry, you have to say the word no and reverse it. Now what happens is this. You have a neuron pathway that's set up in your brain through programming, through worry. In order to change that neuron program or pathway, you have to disrupt it. When you say the word no, you're disrupting that pathway, which forces your neurons to make a different pathway in your brain. But it takes 29 days to complete that cycle. Okay? And it means you really have to be aware. You really have to stay on top of your thinking. Because what you do is you go out and you go play in your little worry garden.
We all have fun.
Yeah. So you have to stay out of there. But after you've done that for 29 days, you now have a new neuron pathway. And the dark side can't play there anymore. And you have to have faith in God no matter what your situation is, no matter what your crisis is, because you know that God is always there, and as long as you keep your faith and you know that God's going to be there with you and God will take care of it, and that this is a lesson that you have to learn, and the lesson is how do you react within your lesson. Do you lose your faith? Or do you maintain it? You have to maintain it if you're going to learn the lesson. Because the whole point of the dark side is to make certain that you lose your faith. Through worry. That's how you keep your faith. Good question.
You know, I was just talking to a girl from work who worries a lot, and I was telling her this stuff.
Some whole cultures worry. I mean, the Greeks have what you would say are, some people may call them prayer beads, but they're known as worry beads.
Sure. They're worry dolls, too. There's a little bag with individual little dolls. And you you take out the male or female character that's concerning you, and you play with it. That's your worry. You put it in the bag, you close it up, you put your worry away.
Good.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. But worry, I'm telling you, is a total waste of energy. Mm-hmm. It's negative fantasy work that you could be applying positive energies to manifest positive things. Because when you're worrying, you are drawing to you
negative
mm-hmm. stuff. Maybe not exactly what it is that you're worrying about, maybe worse.
Mm-hmm. And the worry is negative, so you're sending that out too, and that affects the outcome.
You're manifesting in the negative. Mm-hmm. You bet. So I broke myself from that worry. Now I won't tell you that it doesn't sneak up on me from time to time, because the dark side likes to kind of sneak up and go whack. Okay?
Are you listening?
Yeah. So I try to really stay aware of where my thought patterns are, So when I find myself going into that negative place, I say the word stop, and I reverse it. And I refuse to go there. Now, this doesn't mean that I can't be sad, or I can't be angry, or I can't go through emotions, but worry is a total waste of time. Mm-hmm. Now, some people think that if you worry enough, you can cover all bases with scenarios as to how to handle whatever comes your way.
What if that never, ever happens out any of those ways?
It never works.
Yeah.
Murphy's Law. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen, okay? So what you have to do with that is you have to recognize that whatever happens will come in its own way, and you can never plan for it, nor should you be concerned about it. You have the energy, if you're not worrying, to deal with whatever shows up on your path. Mm-hmm. Then you're fine.
That kind of goes along the lines of learning to control your thoughts. You don't let them just meander around.
Yes. Mind control. You develop your own mind
control.
You
develop your own. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To strengthen your own. What am I trying to say there?
Authority? And
master.
Yourself, yeah.
Yeah, well, that is a wonderful program to learn self-mastery. Mm-hmm. Because that allows you to be effective with your mind, your brain, so that the dark side doesn't come in and manipulate you. And they can, if you let them. Mm-hmm. But see, my mother, she did not have a clue that the dark side did anything. And most people don't. You don't think the dark side can do anything to you. And I hear these people, well, I go to church and I pray and I know that I'm safe from the dark side. Yeah, really? Really? How many creatures have been taken over by the dark side?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, a lot.
Yep.
You have to actively know what you're dealing with and how to deal with it. If you are not educated, then you're a fool. You have no protection. Your belief is not enough. You have to be educated. You have to know how to deal with the spirit community. You need to know how to call upon help and what to call upon to help and whom and in what names of God. Because if you're spiritually knowledgeable, then you can call upon the forces that can deal with whatever you might be thrown your way. Because I hear you cannot do it yourself.
No, no, we're not imbued with superpowers or anything.
No. I have no power. Mm-mm. I know how to call upon the powers that do have powers.
Mm-hmm. And that's the knowledge is power.
That's right. Knowledge abolishes fear. You bet.
Turn your cards.
Hmm?
Turn your cards.
Yeah.
That's an excellent segue to what I was going to ask you. Because I had pretty strong faith back in 1983, and something happened to me. Incident on the base housing and the base, and I wouldn't believe any of this stuff. This incident didn't occur to me, but I would walk in the kitchen and in the afternoon, and all the cabinets would be open at a 45 degree angle, and the calendar tightly. I could blow just in the kitchen, and it would be freezing like you don't outside.
Yeah.
And then I would go to bed. I wake up at night, all the windows are open, all the lights are on, all the TVs are going on. I go, hell. And I shut all that, and the next, and for 3 nights in a row, I said, you know what? And I was clearing out of there, and they won't let you go in the barracks until you cut out of it. I had to go to the first shirt, and I go, I can't tell you why, but I need to be in the barracks tonight. I'm not going back to the house. And I prayed, and Jesus' name, everything, and what the heck? I'm like, he's answered all my prayers up until now. And I go, I had no idea what that was, why that happened, and I've never forgotten it, but to this day, it's hard for me to watch paranormal even on TV when that happens.
But it woke you up.
And that's the point.
It did. And
that's
then it's
the
like,
point.
Whoa.
There you go.
That's why. Yeah. That stuff is out there. It's rampant.
It is. And I wouldn't have believed it, though, if it hadn't happened to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm watching a show called The Outsider. I don't know if any of you were watching
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. But it blew my mind when the guy who's the, I guess, minister did, he had this kid that was totally possessed by the demonic. I mean, the kid was floating, you know, eyes rolling back in his head, the whole nine yards. And the preacher pulls out sage and starts burning it. And I'm going, oh my God, these people don't know anything. This is like total ignorance. But I'm now beginning to understand that this preacher is really honest to God ignorant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know if they knew what they were doing with that.
What channel is it on?
It's on one of the pay channels, like HBO or something.
Oh, okay.
It's Outcast.
Outcast.
And yeah, I was yelling at the TV over that sage thing. I was like, you're not doing anything. What's wrong
with you? Sandalwood is really one of the burns that people don't know. Sandalwood.
Absolutely. Yeah, sandalwood.
Most of y'all they don't know sandalwood is what you burn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you burn sandalwood. And of course, the demonic didn't respond to it one way or the other, obviously.
But yeah. I thought it was snickering.
Going, uh-huh. The smudging and...
Yeah. Some of the,
there's but
the
smoky in here.
The shows though are educating people, whether they like it or not, because this stuff is honest to God going on. But if you know how to deal with it and how to work with it, then you're safe. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm here to tell you, you're safe if you believe in God, you trust in God. You're going to be protected. You may have a few slaps to your head to wake up, but you're protected.
I have one slap to my head.
I had a few to mine.
I know you had.
A few 2x4s.
Yeah. But it's okay.
Crash courses are the best way to learn.
Pardon?
Crash courses are the best way to learn.
Mine lasted for 8 years with the demonic. It wasn't really a crash, but it lasted 8 years, and it was step by step by step by step.
You had a few crashes.
Yeah, I did have some major crashes with that. I really did. But I think when you go through something like that, if you recognize that you are actually privileged, that you have a privilege to learn that there really is a God and there really is power, God, and if you take it as a privilege and not as a, don't be afraid of it, but it's an opportunity to really learn something and really grow with it and do something with it and bring family into knowledge through it. It's tough, but it's worth it. Everything that I ever went through is well worth it to me. I'm very grateful for it. And I've been through some wild stuff. I went home one night, all my lights in my whole house were strobing. Everything. Anything that had a light to it was strobing.
Like a discotheque.
No, it's
not. Oh, no, no.
All the different.
Oh, God, it was wild. And the energy was like, ah.
So what, did you lift the house?
I commanded. I took my authority.
Oh, it went away?
Yeah, it went away. But it startled me because I walked in and everything was just strobing. Yeah. And I'd never seen that before. It was outside of one of my patterns. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's happened to me also. Come in and just everything flying out of the counter, TV turning off and on, just like you said, lights, anything that had electricity.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, electricity is the key on that. Mm-hmm. Technology and electricity, because that's one of the few things that they can actually affect our lights, TVs. Of course, they can throw stuff too, I grant you that.
They can manifest stuff too.
Yeah, I had airports, what they call airports, where I was being gifted by a spirit, and he'd make things just show up on my table. I had an Indian pipe, part of an Indian pipe, show up on my table.
What are you talking about?
An airport. It just appears on your table. From nowhere.
The Native American problem.
I had that.
It was a Native American problem.
I had something like that happen this week. Wow. I had the back to a sterling silver earring. I've been doing some like spring cleaning, and it like all of a sudden hit me like on the back of the arm. I'm like, and so I took it and I put it up on top of my jewelry box, and Saturday when I was gone, I lost the back to my earring. So I went home and there's a back to put on it.
There you go.
Can you put $200,000 on my table?
Actually, probably
they,
yes.
They
could. It's so easy to send me some cash.
I'll tell you, the weirdest thing I ever had as an airport was a turkey. No, it was a frozen turkey.
At least it wasn't alive.
It wasn't alive, and it was about a 25-pound turkey.
Wow. Yay.
November 24th.
I was managing an apartment complex, so I had a turkey dinner for everybody in my complex.
For free.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. So there's a lot of strange stuff out there, but you don't have to be afraid of it. You have to be mindful of it, and you have to know things that you can do, and there are things that you can't do. You have to call upon those authorities that actually have authority to do those things. That's where the learning. That's why I put up the webpage. You know, I really wanted people to be able to go and get information where they can actually protect themselves. And they've got a haunting in their house, they can go to that webpage and find out what to do. They can find out the patterns of a haunting versus the demonic. People don't know.
Do you just put in your name?
Yeah, Carol Pates.
.com.
.com.
Thank you. Yes, Carol
Thank
Pates.
Thank you for doing that, by the way. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
There's
absolutely.
A lot of information on there. A lot of information.
But it was, my guy said, it's time now. You need to go ahead and put this out there.
Tell you guys thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I thought that was, and I said, well, how am I going to do this? I said, well, we'll provide it. We'll take care of it. And they did, let me tell you, they did. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going...
That was a journey too, though, wasn't it?
It's always a journey.
Yes, it is.
It always has its pros and cons to it. And there's always a touch of dark side to it. Mm-hmm. But how else would you learn?
Exactly.
You know, it's okay. I think it can be a little nerve-wracking along the way, but... Then you have to go, no.
Take your authority.
Take your authority.
Stand.
And stand. Mm-hmm. That's the major thing you have to learn, to stand. You have to do that. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten really good at that. Although there are times, and there'll be times with you when you won't want to.
That's very true.
And just, sometimes you wonder if it's worth it. And if you have the energy to do it.
But you still have to do it.
But you still have to do it, because if you don't, it gets worse and worse and worse until you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that even works in sucky relationships.
Pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything.
Your job, relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you do, the end result is that you get what you want. Or close, and you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You have self-worth. It evolves self-worth and self-respect. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, that's so important.
Yes, it is.
Because we're not taught that.
No, we're taught just the opposite.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. We're taught that we are less than, we're not worthy. If you don't wear the right clothes or the right makeup or whatever the case, you're out of luck. Or the right standards.
Right sports car.
Or the money or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, God doesn't make junk. God created each and every one of you, and you are all worthy, or you simply wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the truth.
Yeah, it is the truth. Any last minute questions? because I'm going to probably close it up a little bit early tonight because I'm really, really kind of wiped. Okay. Had a long week.
You have had a long week.
Yeah, my husband's been really, really ill, and I've been, it's been a little stressful.
Can I say something to everybody here? Everybody, please pray. If y'all don't pray, we have all got to pray and get on your knees and give it wholehearted, upright openness. Just give it to the Lord and pray however long it takes until you get that peace, and He'll give it to you. Just pray, because if we don't do this, this is our last Sunday.
He's talking about our government, our country, our way of life.
Exactly.
We're in jeopardy.
Oh, Hillary's going to be the president. Good, bad, or ugly.
Don't be saying stuff like that. You're putting it out there. Don't put it out there.
It's not about politics in here.
Polls say 12 points, so I'm just saying.
No politics here.
Yeah, no politics.
No politics, okay. I didn't mean Hillary by me.
You don't bring politics.
I give you all the right to do whatever you choose. But understand, we're at a point of good and evil.
Scary.
It's more scary than you could possibly know.
Scared.
Mm-hmm. It should be.
And you need to trust your gut, not what is being told on television. Because it is spin city out there. Mm-hmm. I promise you, nothing but lies and spinning.
Mm-hmm. Internet too.
So be aware of that. It's good or bad. We could lose all of our rights. All of them. Mm-hmm. So pray for the country. Pray that God be brought back to our country.
And the only way is to pray.
Mm-hmm. At this point, yeah.
Yep.
And don't believe the spin. Okay, let's go ahead and just